Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up in just a moment, next Tuesday, Frontline is going to premiere The Secret History of ISIS. I had a chance to preview the program last night, and in addition to giving me a few nightmares, it is a must-see. It is an investigation of how ISIS came into existence and how American officials over two administrations really missed their chances to stop the rise of ISIS. The film lays out how and why we got where we are right now. One of the most deadly days this year, actually, in Iraq today, actually. So we will be talking with Michael Kirk in just a moment. Michael is the writer and producer of this particular film. He is an incredible guy. He's produced more than 200 national television programs. He was the senior producer of Frontline from the very beginning of the series in 1983 and then created his own production company, and he's won every award multiple times in the business. So a very important conversation coming up in just a moment, but also important so we can have these conversations. We're in our spring membership drive. Did you know? I'm Kathleen Dunn with Scotty Myers, and it's the last day. This is it. It's the last day of Wisconsin Public Radio's spring membership drive, so we don't have much longer to ask for your support, and we're happy to ask for your support because we love what we do. Your gift, WPR.org. 888-202-2552 helps pay for these important programs. Hi, Scotty.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Scotty.
So last hour we heard from 20 people, 20. Thank you for those pledges. Our goal this hour is, again, to get 20 pledges. So help us meet that goal by making a contribution now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. The programs that you enjoy every day, they're here on Wisconsin Public Radio thanks to your support.
Listening to the Ideas Network is a lot like going out for a terrific cup of coffee with a wonderful, kind-hearted, smart friend. It's enjoyable, it's informative, and it piques your curiosity.
But someone has to pay for it. You make this daily cup of radio coffee, as it were, on the Ideas Network possible with your financial support. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Scotty, during this membership drive, you can get this year's artist mug when you give $13 a month or a one-time gift of $156. Your donation supports the programs that you count on, and you can also get a beautiful mug.
And you know what? This mug was made right in the good old U.S. of A. And it's featuring this beautiful art of a sort of a in Dane County, this beautiful sort of landscape meadow. And it's by a local artist, Chris Gargan. And it's this it's beautiful. You really need to check it out. You can do that at WPR.org and ask for your mug when you pledge online or call 888-202-2552.
I've just learned a lot by listening to public radio. I feel like I can use it. It's something I can use in my life and learn more or do something different or think differently. It kind of runs in my family. My mom listens to public radio. My dad listens to public radio. My brother listens to public radio, although I think he's unlucky because he lives in New York and we have the best public radio here. I've traveled around the country and this is the best. I'm Katie Simonson from Burlington. Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for news and information.
Make your donation in support of all of the programs that you count on that inform you. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with one of my extraordinary producers, the ever curious and always in good humor, I might add, Scotty Myers. And we are here to raise the money that keeps the station and this program on the air. So whether your pledge is, I don't know what it is, $5 a month. Maybe some of you can do $100 a month. We appreciate and actually we really count on your gift.
And you can turn on the radio every day without an upfront charge and enjoy hours of news programs, in-depth conversations like the one you're about to hear about the ISIS documentary coming up on Frontline. Great entertainment, whether that's on our weekend schedule or the weekdays. You know, for a lot of people, that's where the relationship ends.
But, you know, for a special group of people, the relationship changes over time and they become attached. And then they give financial support. They're willing to pay for something that many people get for free.
Yeah, those are very special people, and we call them members. Become a member today. Do it. $5, $10 a month. That's a great starting point. At WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You don't have to live in a big city to have access to everything the world has to offer. You can get it right here on Wisconsin Public Radio.
So whether you live in a small town or a big city, when you listen to WPR, you're in the global public square. We're there with you. And you're hearing from artists and you're hearing from reporters. You're hearing from experts in the forefront of their fields.
And one of my favorite shows that you booked this week, I love doing these shows and I love your enthusiasm about them. The people who are actually on the oil drilling thing that was going down and had found the moment in time when the asteroid hit the Earth 66 million years ago.
It's almost unfathomable that they can trace that. And they call this right from the rig.
I know.
Off the Gulf of Mexico.
I know.
We do that stuff. That's what we do.
I know. It's just amazing. Thanks for booking that. It was great. I mean, you book all kinds of things, but I remember that show, and I always will remember that show.
So, well, because you appreciate this access to the best that the world has to offer, those kinds of shows that Kathleen and I were just talking about, we're asking you to make a pledge of support to WPR. Do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this is pretty easy to do. You just call and you tell us your name, contact information, how much you'd like to give, how you'd like to pay. You can do it in a couple ways, a lump sum, or you can become a monthly sustainer. So no matter how you choose to give or how much you choose to give, the next few minutes to support the station you count on will be well-spent minutes. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
It's coming down to the wire.
Yeah.
Just like that Kentucky Derby we saw this week.
I know.
Or last Sunday.
Yeah.
But today's the last day of our spring membership drive. It ends at 6 p.m. tonight. So that leaves you time to cast your vote in favor of Wisconsin Public Radio. Take just a couple of minutes to make your pledge of support right now. And thank you if you've already made that pledge. And thank you to our loyal sustaining members. We certainly appreciate you. And so if you haven't given yet, take this opportunity right now. Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Scotty, we got to get rolling. We have 17 pledges we need by the end of this hour, so we have about 48 minutes. Please get on the phone.
Today is the last day of our spring membership drive.
So it's your gift right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552. We need you.
And this pledge drive, you can ask for our annual WPR artist mug. I know you're collecting them at home. designed by Wisconsin artist Chris Gargan.
It's a beautiful design. The mug is made in the USA.
And it's yours for a pledge of $13 a month or maybe a one-time gift that's suitable for you. And that's at $156, and that's at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And now is a really good time to become a sustaining member.
It's easy to set up a convenient, ongoing monthly donations. It comes straight from your bank account or your credit card.
Get started at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we were just going to read some comments.
And I did something to the screen here. Wait a second. Da-da-da-da-da. Come on. Come on.
Abracadabra.
There we are.
There it is. So I love these. I love hearing from you.
I do too.
So we got Adam from Janesville, and he says, WPR helps to keep me up to date with what's going on in the state and work before and after work. So he's always plugged in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. And Brian from Jordan, Minnesota says, listen via streaming. You have a broad range of programs not available in my home state. Very nice.
Yeah.
Your gift is powerful. It really does make a difference. You should know that. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Thank you, Kathleen, and thank you, listeners.
Thank you, Scotty. Thanks for all you do and all your enthusiasm and good cheer. You're good.
On with the show.
Huh? On with the show. And a very important topic and a pretty serious topic. Frontline, of course, does wonderful work. And next Tuesday, it will premiere The Secret History of ISIS. It's an investigation of how ISIS came into existence, how analysts in the counterterrorism unit alerted government officials to its dangerous leaders, and the government didn't act on that intelligence. The veteran frontline producer and journalist Michael Kirk says time and time again, American officials over two administrations missed their chances to stop the rise of ISIS. Our new film lays out how and why we got here. We found it's a story of unintended consequences compounding over time in catastrophic and tragic ways. Michael Kirk is the writer-producer of this film. We last talked to him about his documentary on Netanyahu. He's produced more than 200 television programs, former Nieman Fellow in Journalism at Harvard. He was senior producer of Frontline and then created his own production company. Some of the other work he's done, Secrets, Politics, and Torture, The Secret History of the CIA's Enhanced Interrogation Methods, Gun Down, The Power of the NRA, Losing Iraq, League of Denial, The NFL's Concussion Crisis, Money, Power, and Wall Street, and the lengthy list goes on. He is the winner of every major award in journalism. Thank you so much, Michael, for being with us.
It's my pleasure.
I watched the documentary last night. It is incredibly disturbing. It's really interesting to see all of this laid out so we're reminded of these mistakes that were made. And you can't help but think, my gosh, if you had listened to people who had this information, maybe the world would be a little different now.
Well, that's the astonishing thing about it, you know. It's this, Iraq has been a little bit off the radar now for the last few years. And just yesterday, and again today, ISIS is blowing things up in Baghdad. Obviously, the war is about to get enhanced again. And for those of us who've, this is, I think, my seventh film about Iraq and the Iraq War, just when we think it's all over, somebody new or something new comes up, and we learn even more that we should have known and didn't know at the time. And that's very much the case here, where a CIA analyst and a couple of other people have come forward. Colin Powell has agreed to an interview to finally talk about that important speech he gave at the United Nations. And we reconnect the dots one more time, mm-hmm. only to discover how little we actually knew was going on while it was going on.
Yeah. Let's start with the founder of ISIS, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, a thug, a pimp, you write, a guy who was in prison and was transformed behind bars, and oh, did he inflict damage.
Yes, an amazing study in the sort of radicalization of an individual. You've got somebody who's really a street thug, covered with tattoos, so many tattoos that they call him the Green Man, who gets into prison, and the prisons in places like Jordan and eventually in Iraq, where the American military ran Abu Ghraib and Camp Buka and others, those prisons have taken on this new name, which is Jihad Universities, where guys like Zarqawi, straight thugs straight off the street, go into a prison and are radicalized and become jihadis to such an extent that he takes a razor blade and scrapes the tattoos off of his body in a kind of purification moment, you know. It's an amazing transformation that takes place with him, and he decides he wants to go to Kandahar and meet bin Laden. This is before 9/11. And maybe get to join this new group he's heard about called Al Qaeda, and from there on the story rolls.
Mm-hmm. And there was a time, was it 2002, when the film says it was the right time to target him. The counterterrorism unit had a lot of information on him, but the administration, the Bush administration, did not see him as a problem.
Yes, and they eventually would make him famous by making him part of Colin Powell's speech. But at the time, even though he was there and they kind of knew about him and they knew he was a terrorist, even though, and he had gone to Kandahar, but bin Laden had kind of dissed him and didn't want, you know, anything really to do with him. He was kind of too thuggish, too lower class for them. Al-Qaeda had a different level of person they were interested in. And so he's up in this camp waiting for the Americans. The word is out in the Middle East that the Americans are going to take Iraq at some moment. So this is the spring of 2002. 2002, almost a year before we invade. And he's in this camp, and they're making sort of rudimentary chemical weapons and trying to build ricin. And the CIA finds him there and says to the White House, let's blow this guy up. Let's blow this camp up. But the White House, not wanting to jump the gun on its own attack plan a year later, and thinking that maybe Zarqawi would be useful when they try to make the case about whether Saddam Hussein was connected to Osama bin Laden, kind of hold off and don't hit the camp. And of course, now many, many people, people we talk to in the film, say, if we would have hit that camp and if we would have hit this guy who is eventually going to become the father of ISIS, maybe there would be no ISIS to this very day.
I found Colin Powell's statements on this interesting in your film, because he talks about Zarqawi being kind of a sidebar of his speech before the UN, and yet you remind us that 7 minutes of the speech was devoted to him. He was mentioned 21 times, and all of a sudden this obscure guy becomes a real leading figure of jihad.
It's really amazing to me that I've waited years to talk to Colin Powell to find out, A, why did he give the speech? And for those of you in your audience who remember the speech, many people say they remember where they were when that speech was delivered. The fact is that speech, a lot of people say, turned the tide and gave the Bush administration the justification, in public relations terms at least, to go forward and invade Iraq. By talking about Zarqawi and by using Zarqawi, even though it wasn't true, as the proof that Saddam Hussein had participated in 9/11 by being connected to Osama bin Laden, even though it wasn't true, Powell mentions him 21 times, talks about him for 7 minutes, and even though Powell now says it was just a passing reference, that he essentially lies to us on camera in the interview. Very disappointing to me, and I think probably disturbing to your listeners.
Yes.
The moment happens, and here's this guy who is nobody, really not famous, not worthy of much other than what he was doing up in that camp that they chose not to even blow up, who they've now anointed as being at least as important on the world stage as Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein. And really, they make him heroic in the terror world. He becomes a rock star.
Mm-hmm. Was it Dick Cheney's office that wrote Colin Powell's speech?
They wrote the first draft, which was about 56 pages long. Powell rejected that first draft, not knowing that it was written by the vice president's office. There was no love lost between Cheney and Powell. But Powell reads the speech and says, I can't say these things. This is worse than this doesn't track. Where's all this information coming from? So it's then rewritten by the woman who's the sort of one of the central characters in our film, Neda Bakos, an analyst for the CIA down at the Counterterrorism Center. She and others vet the speech, write it to be accurate, write it to not say that Zarqawi is the connection between Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein. And when they hear the speech delivered, they wonder where he got the speech he's delivering, because it doesn't track for them either. As she says, they're watching it down in the Counterterrorism Center, and they can't. He's leaving the page all the time. They don't know where he is. Where's he? And they say to each other, "What's he talking about? Where does this come from?" And of course, that's one of the great mysteries about the Powell speech and about us going to war in 2003, which is who wrote that final speech. Who vetted that final speech? Powell tells us it was George Tenet, which is the head of the CIA, which is why he makes Tenet sit behind him. But one wonders what would have happened if Zarqawi had not been the centerpiece of a big section of that speech.
And then we occupy Iraq, we disband the Iraqi military, and all of a sudden he has a big opening here to begin an insurgency.
Yes, exactly. When we do away with the Iraqi military by the third day that L. Paul Bremer is the American, what they call the administrator of the Coalition Provisional Authority, in other words, the American boss there, he signs an order that disbands the Iraqi military, which is largely a Sunni military. 250,000 men out of work on the streets with their weapons. They take away their severance pay. They take away their version of Social Security. These guys are angry. And for somebody like Zarqawi, who's been anointed as a rock star of terrorism, it's easy for him to pull these guys together in what would become the insurgency, what we would eventually call the insurgency, but what is really an army that will eventually become ISIS.
Mm. And this is only part of the story. Zarqawi eventually comes to the attention, full attention, of the Bush administration and bin Laden as well, when he personally starts killing people. So we'll continue the story. And I do hope you'll have a chance to see the documentary. It is history worth revisiting with some new information, and we're still dealing, after all these years, with this terrorist organization that is doing horrible things all over the world. We missed the signs here at the very beginning. How could we have done so? We'll talk about Syria as we continue, and we're also talking on a day when there has been horrible violence, the worst of the year in Iraq. Our guest is Michael Kirk. Michael is the writer, the producer of the new film From Frontline, which has been doing, well, it's the longest running investigative documentary series on television. Thank God for it. The show is The Secret History of ISIS, and it airs next week. We'll be welcoming phone calls for him as well. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Scotty Myers, and this is, I gotta tell you, the last day of our spring membership drive. It is your contribution that keeps this network, which has been around almost 100 years. Isn't that something? Well, it keeps us on the air, and we hope we won't be around for it, unless something happens and everybody lives to be 200 years old. But yeah, we want to keep it very much alive for the next 100 years. $5, $10, $20 a month, every gift in any amount makes a huge difference. Please donate now. It's the last day, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
We're looking for 11 more pledges in the next half hour. Your gift right now is so important. Support the programs that you rely on every day.
And thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, the time is now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Kathleen, KP, myself, we're so passionate about bringing you 2 great hours of radio every day, Monday through Thursday, actually, from 1 to 3 o'clock. We talk about books. Mm-hmm. We talk about history. We talk about sports and politics and social issues and education.
Science. Great science shows.
All topics considered, really. So we're here with you with these important topics, fun topics, too. We've talked about online dating. We've talked about space shows. We've done comedy shows. We've done it all.
Yeah, we have. It's been good. You're just making me want to pause and think about all we've done, but I can't because of all we have yet to do. We can't do it without your support. We just can't. You, listener contributors, make up 40% of our budget, and that's a lot. It's why we're asking for your gift right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You give to WPR to support the programs you love, like this one. And as an added incentive, we have something special during this spring membership drive. It's the 2016 WPR Artist Mug. You know you collect these coffee mugs. They're a badge of pride. You're proud to sip your coffee or your tea from these types of mugs. It's designed by a local artist, Chris Gargan. It's this beautiful landscape painting from a scene out of Dane County. It's beautiful.
And it's yours when you give $13 a month or a one-time gift of $156. Ask for your mug now. Show your support for WPR when you make your pledge at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
You might think that Wisconsin Public Radio operates largely with tax dollars. We do get funding from the federal government and from the state. But the biggest part of the funding pie comes from listener contributions. That's right. You make the single largest source of our income.
Well, that means, of course, that your support is vital to keeping Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. Now that you know how important your support is, make a pledge, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
especially like the talk shows. Just having a host and a guest isn't good enough for me. I really like the interaction, and I have called in, but very rarely. I just enjoy hearing other people call in and share information. It's a wonderful source of news for me. I'm Barbara Gilmore from Grafton, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for all my news about our world.
Well, Barbara, you can still call in. It's good to have you call in, Barbara. But I love that part of our show. Pledge at WPR.org, 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Scotty Myers asking for your support of WPR. It is our spring membership drive. It is the last day. Your gift might be $10, $20 a month. We thank you for your gift.
Because you have a strong sense of what it means to be a Wisconsinite, chances are that Wisconsin Public Radio plays an important role in that sense of identity. Think about it. You know that saying, you are what you eat? Well, you are what you listen to. So this is your radio diet.
Well, Scotty, that was good. Scotty's always had a way with words.
Hey, that's a show you can hear on our network.
Exactly. You get news, you get sounds from all over the state, and over time, all of these broadcasts add up to what a history lesson and a strong sense of connection to the state that we call home.
Yeah, that's right. Wisconsin Public Radio, it's the home that we all share, and it's funded in large part by listeners, by you. Give now at wisconsinpublicradio.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're looking for the best way to fit a contribution to us in your budget, you can become a sustaining member. You'll make automatic and affordable monthly contributions from your credit card or your bank account.
So a lot of people give $15 a month on this plan. Some give $100. The amount, that's up to you. But as a sustainer, you'll be an ongoing member of WPR, building a stable source of revenue for your favorite radio station. I know it's number one on the presets in your vehicle. So contribute right now. Become a sustainer at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
When you break it down, Scotty, a $10 a month contribution is just a little over 30 cents a day, and you probably spend a lot more than 30 cents a day on things that you value less than WPR.
Unfortunately, that's true.
Yes.
So spend a little right now, and you'll get a lot in return. Join, renew, or make an extra gift if you can at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're halfway there, Scotty. 10 pledges to go in about 28 minutes.
We can do it.
Yes, we can.
So help out on this final day of our spring membership drive at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can show your support and get the latest WPR artist mug.
And it's made right here in the U.S. of A. by Wisconsin artist Chris Gargan. It's a beautiful looking thing.
So show your pride for radio that you love when you give $13 a month. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
If you're a sustaining member, thank you.
Make today the day that you increase maybe your support of WPR by $5 a month or whatever amount you choose. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I got a comment here from Kathleen and Michael from Madison, and they say, we are longtime listeners, and we love WPR, and we love you, Kathleen and Michael. Thank you for listening. Thanks for contributing, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, we sure do. I appreciate you too, Scotty. Thank you so much for all that you do and for your good nature and your curious, curious mind. We are talking about a very important documentary that will air. I hope you will see it on PBS on Tuesday night. It is The Secret History of ISIS, and we're delighted to have Michael Kirk with us this hour of the program. Michael is the writer and producer, award-winning. He has done hundreds of very important documentaries, and he is has done this documentary, which will air next Tuesday, so we're talking about what is in it. I had a chance to see it last night, and it's worth your eyes and ears. We have a number of people calling in, so let's take some phone calls for Michael. 800-486-8655. And we start with Daniel in Milwaukee. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm a fan of chronological accountability when it comes to geopolitics, especially when it comes to the military intervention in other countries. One piece, though, that I think seems to consistently get passed over is post decision to invade. The Pentagon's proposal to the Bush administration was to bring between, I think it was 300,000 and 400,000 troops so that enough security could be provided in the country while removing Saddam and his sons to prevent sectarian violence so that the Ba'ath Party could then continue to run the country. And they decided for some reason that that was not politically viable and brought, I think it was 120,000 or 150,000 troops instead. And that gap, of course, created the sectarian violence surge due to lack of security and wiped out all the people able to run a country.
You want to respond?
Yes, that's a good telling of the tale. The argument put out by Secretary Rumsfeld when the Bush administration, especially Vice President Cheney, wanted to go to war and what some people called drain the swamp, was that we could do it with 50,000 people. We'd go in, we'd sever the head of the snake, they said, and get in and get out. And we've made a number of films in Iraq during that time and about that part of the war, and it's a tragic tale of misunderstanding by the United States of what it meant to take over and break a country, completely unprepared for what would happen after it was over. Mm-hmm. We've reported that General Franks, the commander, showed up and said to his generals and all the troops, "Get ready to go home." And they thought they were going to pack up and be gone in 6 to 8 weeks when the insurgency began. And here we are, the longest running war in American history. And thousands of Americans and many more times that Iraqis have died, have been seriously wounded, injured. The country is devastated. And now a big section of it is run by ISIS, who has not only that part of the country, but part of Syria, and has issued a global jihad, a global war of terror. Mm-hmm. So it's a long and sad story. The beginning of it and all the way along is a case of willful and an accidental misunderstanding of the stakes of what was happening and what was going on. And our film Tuesday Night really articulates the extent to which it was missed by two presidents, what has been happening there. And now American troops, 250 recently, back in of Special Forces people, we may never get out of there.
Mm. And we'll skip the rest of the story, although it's worth seeing in the documentary. We finally kill Zarqawi in 2006, but ISIS lives on, and it lives on in the form of who's the latest leader who we believe he's still alive, who decides to go into Syria?
Mr. al-Baghdadi, who is himself a direct chip off the old block, the heir apparent to Zarqawi, carrying the methodology, the idea of a civil war, looking for a broken state. In this case, he leaves Iraq and heads over to Syria, where they rebuild ISIS. General Petraeus tells us in the film that at one moment he had his boot on the neck of Zarqawi's group in 2009, and they were down to 37 members. Well, now there are thousands of them, and part of the blame for the growth of ISIS is from 37 to what they are now was the idea that we pulled our troops out in 2011, and they reconstituted themselves, headed to Syria, another broken state, and rebuilt themselves. And soon, because we weren't there, the Shia head of Prime Minister of Iraq, Mr. al-Maliki, starts to lean on the Sunni again, and the Sunnis in the north invite ISIS in to protect them, and it all starts again.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about the Obama administration for a while, too. So now we have ISIS forces in Syria. We're having a call for us to fund more moderate opposition to Syria. I've always wondered, as we've done shows on this, Michael, was there indeed moderate opposition that we could have funded in Syria?
Well, there certainly the ambassador, Robert Ford, Hillary Clinton when she was Secretary of State, Leon Panetta when he was Secretary of Defense, and General Petraeus once he had become head of the CIA, all believed that we had better do something to shape what was happening in Syria, or it was going to get out of control, and what has happened now would have happened. And the President of the United States, despite the strong arguments of President Obama, despite the strong arguments from Petraeus, Clinton, Ford, and Panetta, chose, and even the National Security Council, chose not to arm the moderate rebels, whatever moderate rebels means. But they were, at least these officials at the highest levels of our government were saying to the president, we know it's complicated, but these are probably the guys we should help or they're going to get run over. Well, those guys have gotten run over, and ISIS picked up the pieces and grabbed big pieces of Syria. And as we say, the rest is history.
Mm-hmm. And you also make mention of the thousands of fighters that are coming from all over the world to join forces with ISIS. Why are they coming, and how do they? How is the internet being used to recruit these people, Michael?
Well, part of what the beheadings are all about, and the other than the enforcement of Sharia law in places like Raqqa and other villages, is part of what that is about is it's a web advertising for a certain kind of young disaffected man, primarily in Europe and parts of the United States. Thousands of foreign fighters have left where they are, come to Syria. They participate. The one person I talked to at great length said, you know, think about it this way. 19-year-old, 18-year-old young men unhappy where they live in Europe. It's racist societies. They don't have work. They don't have women really in their lives. They're offered an opportunity. They see it on the web, and they're offered an opportunity to commit murder, mayhem, receive money. They're given women that are taken as hostages. In the end, if they die, they are taken to heaven. The idea that this is very attractive to participate in this level of a religious war. They believe that the Americans and the others that are there are part of the Crusades, the modern Crusades, and their job is to kill the Crusaders. So they, I think, for religious reasons, for personal reasons, for horrible reasons, the ability and the opportunity to commit murder and rape and have women, there are many, many, many reasons why so many of the foreign fighters come. They are the heart and soul of the ISIS movement. And the frightening thing, according to security people we talk to, is that they all have passports from their original countries and can return, and no one knows who they are, but here they are. Mm-hmm. And there they are in France, and there they are in Belgium. There they are coming in with the refugees into Europe, where the borders are a little less security conscious. And that is, once ISIS has said, you know, we're two kinds of things. We're a state called ISIS. We own Mosul and Ramadi and all kinds of places in Iraq and big parts of Syria. But beyond being the state and what they call the caliphate, the global caliphate, they are also a global jihad network, terrorist network, and with 40 affiliates, 90 in the last 2 years at least, attacks, Paris, Brussels, San Bernardino,
yes.
Canada, that's the great legacy of Zarqawi that we talk about in our film, and it's the great legacy that any whoever the next president is, Trump or Clinton, will face. what are you going to do about these people?
Right, really. You know, and after watching your film, I don't know who to believe other than the counterterrorism experts who you've interviewed who seem to be prescient and certainly knew what they were talking about. Those people aren't on TV very much anymore, letting us know what the real story is here. So you hear the president and he'll say, well, you know, we've killed a lot of members of ISIS. It's slowing down here. Others will say it's not. And then you have all of these attacks. I don't know who to believe on this anymore. Do you?
Well, I think one of the things that's tragic is that it's gone off the radar. So remember, it used to be the front page of the newspaper. Now it's a little tiny 2-inch thing that says there was something in Baghdad that killed 100 people in a market. Mm-hmm. The fact is ISIS is now attacking Baghdad. The fact is ISIS and its affiliates have attacked Paris, France, twice, Brussels. The fact is this is happening. And yes, the United States, Iran, Russia, Turkey, lots of countries, Saudi, are all preparing to attack ISIS, the government, the state. But this movement, as they say in the intelligence business, you can't kill an idea. And that idea is abroad in the world right now. And yes, I applaud to whatever effort the president and future presidents feel that they can contain this in some way, but that has not been the history, and our film more than demonstrates
sure
that
does.
From before we went into Iraq to this very day, and yesterday as they were blowing up the police station and 100 people died yesterday mm-hmm. in Baghdad from an ISIS bomb. This means this is all heating up again. And, you know, I encourage your listeners and our viewers to watch the program mm-hmm. Tuesday to educate yourself so that you can engage in this dialogue come
right.
Election day.
Yeah. Mike in Wisconsin. Hi, Mike.
Yes, hello.
Go right ahead, Mike.
Yes, I just wanted to add something. This is an excellent topic. I think people are woefully undereducated about it. I spent 10 years in the military from the late 80s to the late 80s to the early 90s. And all of my time was spent in special ops, and the beginning of it was spent with an active ranger battalion. But the rest was spent as a low-level field intelligence gatherer. And I even met Dick Cheney one time. He spoke to and visited my ranger school class when he was Secretary of Defense. And I think people should understand that Mr. Cheney and others who were involved in this had spent a long time in very important places in the government. And the one thing I would disagree with is that we understood perfectly the mindset of these people from this region. I trained with people from Iraq, Jordan, Syria, and places like that. We understood perfectly well how they would react. We understood perfectly well how to bolster them up, how to pull the rug from underneath them. And my impression of all this, based on my experience looking at it, is that everything has been done intentionally to fuel a situation that can be extremely profitable for certain corporations that are involved.
Michael, what do you say?
I know that that's an argument, and I think it's like everything about Iraq, it's a kaleidoscope. So you're absolutely right, sir. That happens. The oil in the ground there matters. The other resources matter. Its relationship to the other states. The eventual horrific Sunni Shia war that's in that part of the world's future. Mm-hmm. Whatever happens with Israel, all of it is all as General Petraeus told me. It's a global geopolitical Chernobyl over there, and almost everything you can attribute to it, ascribe to it, justify it with, is in some measure true. The only thing you can, the only thing we really address in this film, but in the seven other films I've made, there's other dimensions of all of this. The thing in this film is the role of the U.S. government to essentially, and then the president, and two presidents, to essentially, for reasons that are very complicated and I could never go into in one film, but for reasons that are very complicated, willfully and otherwise ignore what actually was happening on the ground from the beginning of taking, even if we knew, but to ignore it. Remember, in the fall of 03, while Iraq is going to hell in a handbasket, Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld and the President of the United States were calling the people that were being run by Zarqawi dead-enders, and that these were just the remnants of a few dead-end groups, and it was never going to last.
Yeah,
well, now they have tanks and countries and states and thousands of members. So that happened for a reason, and part of it is the money, and part of it is the oil, and part of it is our own misunderstanding and mistakes that we made along the way.
Michael, thank you for doing such an... Well, all your films are important, but thank you so much for being with us and for doing the film.
You're welcome. Thanks for talking to me.
The film is The Secret History of ISIS, and it airs on PBS next Tuesday. Michael Kirk, award-winning documentarian, he's won everything you can win in twice or three times, is the writer and the producer. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Scotty Myers, and this is the last day of our spring membership drive. We take on important topics, as you know, during these hours on the air. Sometimes we have some fun, but sometimes we like to highlight programs that are extremely important, like the Frontline documentary. It's what we do, and we do it consistently. Your contribution keeps these kinds of programs, serious conversations, and some fun on the air. $5, $10, $20 a month, every gift, whatever amount, it is very important to keep us alive, so we ask you to donate now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
We're looking for six pledges next 6 minutes
Let's
to stay on track this hour. Six pledges, 6 minutes. Your support helps keep this station strong. Help pay for the Kathleen Dunn Show with your gift at WPR.org. 888-202-2552.
What could be more important in the world right now, in the safety of the world, than to have a significant conversation on a film that has an important history about the rise of ISIS and what it is that we ignored and what we shouldn't ignore? It's informative, it's important, it's the kind of thing that we feel is important to discuss on the air.
Yeah, you're not going to hear Michael Kirk everywhere else on the radio. So now take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you. Then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this membership drive, you can choose the 2016 WPR Artist Mug as your thank you gift. If you need a break from the kinds of conversations that we've been having now, you need to chill a little bit. Well, for $13 a month, it's a one-time gift of $156. It's a USA-made mug with artwork by Chris Gargan from Dane County.
Your pledge supports the programs, and you'll love this year's mug. It features the rich colors of Wisconsin meadow in spring. It's a season that isn't, you know, not quite here yet, as I look out the window in a gray and gloomy Milwaukee downtown skyline.
I see the sun, Scotty.
You're an optimist. You always are.
Right.
Check out the design at WPR.org. Ask for yours when you pledge online or call 888-202-2552.
Well, I figured it was important for me to become a sustaining member because I needed to give back. I really enjoy the programs here. I get to hear it every day, and I figure there's buy-in. When I'm a sustainer, I enjoy driving to work, leaving work, being at home, even going to bed listening to WPR. Most media that you hear now, most programs don't have that objectivity that WPR offers. I enjoy all the shows, and I figure you gotta let your money talk. I'm Eben from Appleton, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
Gotta let your money talk. I like that line. Yes, you do. So go to WPR.org, 888-202-2552 to make your money talk during our spring membership drive. And this is it. This is the last day. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Scotty Myers. We're asking for your support. Whatever it is, you know, it might be $10 a month or $15 a month. Thank you so much for it.
You connect with Wisconsin Public Radio for information, great conversations, and entertainment. You connect through your radio or you stream it online. The 9XM leadership gifts of $100 a month or more are critical in supporting that connection for you and across the state.
Keep our connection strong to you, all WPR listeners. Leadership gift of $100 a month or more if you can. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Here at Wisconsin Public Radio, our shareholders are our members. Listeners like you who value thoughtful, independent programming and support it with their donations. We're sure that you can hear this difference every day, and that's why you choose Wisconsin Public Radio.
And pledge drives are important times to hear from new members. Are you a member yet? If you're not, please take a step to do that right now.
And time flies. Maybe it's been longer than you realize since you last gave to Wisconsin Public Radio. Put it at the top of your to-do list. We're asking you to keep your membership active.
Think of all the support of WPR like you think of other services that you rely and pay for. Internet, phone. How about WPR? WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Thank you, Scotty,
yes.
So much.
Thank you.
How should people give, Scotty? We have 10 seconds left.
WPR.org, 888-202-2552. We need five more.
All right. Thanks very much to KP Whaley for producing the show. Thanks to Scotty Myers as well and to Katie Madsen. Thanks, everybody.